Welcome to Day Zero Update for December 1st, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Dan Red Victoria.
And yeah, it's been a pretty busy week, I think, of holidays and such. Not a ton of news, but a lot of industry news.
Mm-hmm.
Not much getting announced here, but we do have some stuff to talk about. As December has started, so end of the year, game of the year kind of prep and all that. So yeah,
yep,
we'll get to all the news and such. We'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing Banishers: Ghosts of New Eden. This is the newest Don't Nod game.
Mm-hmm.
Is in their action lineage.
Yeah,
from Remember Me to Vampyr.
Yep.
To now this game that came out in the middle of February.
Yep.
Obviously did not sell super well because of obvious reasons with
mm-hmm.
a bunch of other games coming out then that had more pull to them.
Yep.
It's from Don't Nod and Focus Entertainment. And yeah, this is basically them taking the God of War combat formula, the more recent God of War combat formula, mm-hmm. and kind of using that for their own story here, where it features two banishers,
mm-hmm.
Red McGraith and Andrea Duarte, who are coming over from, I assume, England, the UK at that point, because Red is Scottish. And you see, this is set in like the late 1600s. So you have a lot of people with English accents, Irish accents, and Scottish accents here in the New World, the U.S. Mm. at that point, or the about to be the American colonies. Takes place in New Eden, which is, I guess, their version of New England.
Mm-hmm.
The Banishers are essentially ghost hunters.
Yep.
They try to take out ghosts, specters, whatever appears to be haunting a household, a person, an area, whatever. I do recommend checking the demo out because it ends at a pretty mm-hmm. good point where you get a late title card about an hour and a half, 2 hours in. And basically they are on the case of this nightmare specter that is been haunting and terrorizing this town. You go around and talk to people and kind of learn what's going on and all that. You also have one other haunting to deal with, which involves your mentor's or no, your friend or mentor's ghost who died before, like while you're on your way over to the town, and his widow needs help because she has felt his presence there and all that. And so your duo here is kind of working to solve that and then working on the nightmare thing, and you go into a big boss fight, get your asses kicked, and sort of wake up in this cave having been thrown off this cliff into the ocean. And get woken up by this witch's assistant, I guess. I forget what her title was specifically. But yeah, kind of working my way back to town to potentially see what we need to do to right things. But along the way, you're kind of finding other people's hauntings and kind of helping them out and dealing with them, and you're kind of making at a certain point you get decisions for how to deal with them that kind of leads to some decisions being made about your own partner's well-being, I guess. It is a really neat story. I'm looking forward to playing some more of this. I've maybe 4 or 5 hours into it right now, kind of basically at the point where you are kind of exploring these woods and kind of winding paths they have. I've reached a new town of people that are just settled in the woods here that is obviously being haunted in some way. And you get a house in the town as like a base of operations, and you're trying to help people out and figure out what's going on. I'm about to get a rifle, I believe, because these are like a hunter community. And so I assume I'm going to be getting a rifle at some point, because it's the last of the weapons I believe I'm waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely, the combat has that God of War vibe where you're going around fighting people. It's not as action-y. Like, the God of War has a lot of combo type stuff, like you're keeping hit counters and all that kind of stuff going. This doesn't really have that as much. I would say it's not as well polished on the combat stuff. So it's kind of a little tedious at times. And I've heard that it kind of doesn't get too much better there. Kind of just gets long in the tooth in terms of the combat, but the story is pretty good as you're dealing with the Red and Atreus' whole relationship and all that. They are kind of lovers that are trying to solve these problems here and help people out and deal with them, and making some big decisions that I'm not going to spoil here, but you're trying to figure out how to solve a big issue, and you kind of have opportunities to go one way or the other on that. Maybe in like a Little Sisters kind of way, in like Bioshock, like how you're dealing with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty well done. I'm enjoying it, so definitely going to keep putting some more time into that, and that's just been a fun one of those games. And it being like half off was like, all right, I'll check this out and play through the demo. And was like, yeah, I'm going to buy this. Especially because you get the late title card and it transitions into the Buy Me trailer. And had a bunch of like review scores just flashing on a screen. I was like, oh shit, I forgot I was even playing the demo. So yeah, it's one of those probably more underrated, underappreciated games of the year. So yeah, there's that. The other game I got that's been talked about a lot, is kind of one of the indie darlings of the year, is 1000X Resist. It is a kind of more narrative focused game. It's only on Steam or PC and Switch, I think, at the moment. It's got an anime art style to it, and you're kind of controlling this, it seems like a robotic clone of somebody named Iris, as far as I can tell, who, in the midst of a pandemic that was going on, she ended up being like the only person immune to it and has kind of survived past that and become like a god figure, I guess, to this community of clones or something. I'm still wrapping my head around what all is going on, but the beat in the first chapter where you're sort of going back in time to an important date and involving the school that Iris went to. It's in like the 2047, something like that, where this pandemic is going on and these kids and teachers, I think, are all sort of quarantined in the school as people are obviously sick and all that. And dealing with the dread that I guess people are going on, like going around clicking on people, you know, talking to them or listening to them, what they're doing. And you obviously look like Iris, because every time you get a chance to like go back and forward in time, from present day to that time. And so a lot of people are like, oh, you're Iris, obviously. And your character has no idea what they specifically did here, so it's kind of dealing with that stuff. And yeah, like the whole thing here is I had to find whatever school, I guess, friends of sorts, Zhao, who you treated poorly at this event in this period of time. And so like the goal during this area was trying to find her in three different spots in the old times, which required you switching back and forth because some of these rooms were blocked off in the present time. So oftentimes you had to figure out which way you needed to get to these different areas. And then you kind of go to the gymnasium at the end to unlock the last of the memories. And from there, you're doing a lot of little weird stuff. There's some areas where you're doing almost like a, not a platformer thing. There's no real platforming, but it, you're like zooming to these specific nodes that some of the witch are in the air. So you're kind of zooming around these areas to get to others to find more narrative stuff going on. And at the end, you're kind of just following this character around, listening to her stories. She's like telling you what's going on and all that. And you kind of run into one of your friends who has supposedly gone on to the like the afterlife almost, I guess. These like clones get sent off to be with the All Mother of sorts, and then that's supposedly the people left behind never see them again kind of thing. And your friend has kind of somehow found a way back to communicate with you, and your character just narcs on them immediately instead of heeding what they might be saying about whether they're there might be some fishy stuff going on with the All Mother and all that. It's a weird story. I'm starting up the second chapter, so I'm assuming I'll get some questions answered here, but I've heard good things about the story here, and I'm curious to see more of this. So, but yeah, it's not quite what I was expecting from the little bits I heard, but it's got a pretty interesting story to it. But yeah, that's 1000X Resist. I got that on Steam for $15 instead of $20 for that. And been enjoying that. Let's see. Also been playing some more Wilmot Works It Out. I finished the game, then started a New Game Plus. Which New Game Plus for that means that you are essentially getting packages of puzzle pieces, but they're not separated into like seasons or whatever. And it's pretty challenging. You're basically like parsing all of these pieces for a variety of puzzles that could be from, you know, the, let's say it's like 10 per season for 8 seasons. So like pieces from like 80 different puzzles, and trying to figure out like, okay, how the hell do I start even putting these together? And all that. The ones I've gotten done so far are basically the small ones that are like 4 pieces for that. But yeah, basically taking to laying these puzzle pieces out on the edges of the expanded room they give you, and kind of looking at the different pieces and trying to recall if they go to certain puzzles I can recognize and all that, and trying to put that all together, which is definitely a big challenge. It's basically called like a marathon mode. So you're basically trying to solve all the puzzles in as quick a time as possible. But you don't have to necessarily wait for anybody to show up at the door to deliver a new package. You just go up and say, I want a new one, and set it down somewhere and deal with that. But yeah, that's still been fun to work on. And the last game I have to talk about is the Crew Motorfest. I've been playing some more of this. Got it in the PSN Black Friday sale. $20 it's about. That's been fun. It's an open world racing game in the style of like a Forza Horizon. Not really doing too much different other than they have, like the other Crew games, there's loot for the cars so that you get different parts to equip and increase your stats and all that, which is an all right part of the game. There's weirdly enough a lot of aspects of this game that are not explained well, and they don't have any sort of like tutorial section to explain it. So the higher tier parts you get have bonuses to certain kinds of stats. And I have no idea what those stats do, because there's no guide to the lists I have of bonuses I'm getting to know like what they're boosting or anything. So I probably have to Google it and see if somebody's written up a wiki or something that explains that stuff. So yeah, it's just kind of a weird bunch of nonsense it really has to it with all this stuff. So yeah, one of the cool things it has is these playlists that are essentially a series of races and challenges and such that you do. Once you complete it, you get a special car. And then what unlocks from there is a series of challenges you can complete that are sometimes just doing simple things with the car that you get. Other times it's, you know, accomplishing specific feats in races, specific races, that kind of stuff, or doing what they call feats, which are kind of activities you can do, like speed traps, little slalom events on stretches of road, things like that. It works out pretty simply, though finding that stuff on the map can be a bit of a challenge because you have to do a lot of work with the filters and such, which is a little bit confusing to deal with. Like the one I've been working on is using the car I got from the American Muscle playlist that I need to do a bunch of slalom events, which aren't too hard. But going through the filter stuff, it's just not super great to kind of show you where stuff is. And the game loves to automatically have you set to a waypoint for the next playlist event, whatever it is. So it loves to interrupt what you're trying to do. So there's a lot of little rough edges there that I'm trying to figure out. But the racing itself is pretty good. It has rewind like the Forza Horizon games do. A lot of the difficulty modifier stuff that the Forza Horizon games have, all that kind of stuff to make it, you know, either easier or tougher for you, depending on how you want to do it. So, but yeah, that's been pretty fun for the price. Definitely gonna be playing some more, but yeah, that's the Crew Motorfest, and that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, I've only really been playing two things this week. First off, I finished The Last of Us Part 1, and just as I remembered it, right up to the very end, that game is incredibly intense and gripping and really it is dreary too. But yeah, that game is so, this version of the game, if you can get it, and you haven't played the original, this is definitely the best version to play. They put in a lot of major improvements to the game that weren't in the original, the better graphics, the UI fixes, some quality of life stuff as well that was much needed. Overall, it was really good. Highly recommend it. But on top of that, I decided to sort of bite the bullet and go in and start playing the remake of Demon's Souls. This was the remake that a lot of people sort of considered to be sort of like the killer app for the PS5 when it debuted. And for good reason, the original Demon's Souls is, you know, it's considered a seminal game in the, you know, it is the sort of the father of the entire Souls-like genre. But what's particularly important about this version is not only did they go back and, you know, redo all the graphics and touch up everything so it looks very Bayer, but they also went and they did some major improvements to not necessarily make the game easier, but make it seem more fair. The most obvious one right off the bat is the fact that unlike in the first game, you can actually dodge roll in any direction you want. In the original, you could only dodge roll front to back or side to side. Here, you can actually go in any direction anytime you want. Another one of the major improvements they made is weight and space, you know, dealing with like items and stuff. In the original game, if you were dealing with things like, you know, if you were taking on too much weight and, you know, too much item weight and you know, needing to redo your equipment or whatever, you had to like just drop a bunch of stuff that you had, even if it was something you might particularly wanted to keep. This time what they did is, anytime in the game that you want, if you're out in the middle of the field or you're at the Nexus, which is like the hub area or whatever, if you're going through your stuff and there's just something you don't want on you, you can literally just send it to storage anytime you want. There is a place that they added in the game where you can actually manage your storage. So you can go back and bring stuff back to add on. So I have already beaten the first boss, you know, the Phalanx, which is really, in hindsight, more of a gimmick boss, because it's not a very difficult boss to fight. It just requires, you know, some proper preparation to do it. Honestly, the real, like, first genuine boss I consider in that game is the Tower Knight, which is who I'm coming up against right now. And I forgot how unbelievably, like, difficult the Tower Knight is if you are not used to that type of game. The Tower Knight is infamous for the fact that not only are you just having to fight the Tower Knight himself, but there's like a bunch of archers and stuff around you that are constantly shooting bolts at you. So basically, in order to kill him successfully, without, you know, having to just sort of do a pull and tug type situation where you're constantly, you know, a tug of war type thing where you're constantly having to jump around, and it's just making the whole thing take longer than it really needs to. There's basically a couple of weapons that you can get, but you have to kind of go out and find them. I know one of them is the winged spear, which is one that people talk about. There's also another one, a sword that I think you can find in, I forgot what it's called, but it's the prison house. And I went and did that last night, and I'll start fighting the Tower Knight again tonight. But yeah, if you've not played the original Demon Souls, this is definitely the version to play. One thing I have realized, though, compared to a lot of the games that came after it, Demon Souls is actually kind of short. It just seems a lot bigger than it is because of its original difficulty. But the actual game actually isn't that big. And in fact, unlike a lot of the games that came afterwards where there was like it was sort of semi open-ended, like, you know, obviously, you know, games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne, they weren't open world games the way like Elden Ring was, but they were organized in such a way that you could kind of go in a couple of different directions and go about it in a couple of different orders if you wanted to. Demon's Souls is unusual in that it's a lot more stratified to a certain extent. You don't travel to particular areas on foot the way that you do in a lot of the later games. You go to the Nexus, and then there's areas that there's like areas that you use to transport to these areas that are, you know, the sort of major areas you're going into. And so it's just overall, it seems like a shorter, smaller game, at least on the surface. And that's kind of, you know, makes sense when you remember that this is literally like the first of its kind. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing. So Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, I honestly haven't been playing much, and I'll tell you guys why. Last week I wasn't around because I had to attend the Esports Awards for work. And right before I took my flight, I downloaded a couple of games on Switch. One of them Chris just mentioned, and the other one was Balatro. So yeah, I played Balatro on the plane, and I played it the entire plane ride. You know, I don't think it's going to make my overall like top 10 list, but I totally understand why it's the phenomenon that it is. Like, it's really simple to play, even though like the rules kind of seem complicated. Like, you know, I've only played for like an hour or two, but I'm really enjoying it. But if I had to explain it to somebody else, I'd have a hard time. But it's a lot of fun. And I'm also like not very good at poker. So when it comes to those hands, it's a little complicated for me. But at the same time, it's like before you play a card, they'll tell you like how many points they're worth. And that's pretty cool. The other game I downloaded from my Switch is 1000X Resist. Chris talked about it for a little bit. I have not booted it up yet. I'm really excited to go ahead and try it out because, this kind of narrative game seems right up my alley. As for why I haven't been playing much aside from what I just mentioned, is because I just upgraded my PS5 to the 30th anniversary Slim. So yeah, it's not really an upgrade because it's not a PS5 Pro or anything. I just wanted that new look, and I was lucky enough to be able to get those. So I got that. I got the new Portal. I got the DualSense, and I got the DualSense Edge. And yeah, I've only opened the PS5 Slim so far, and as some of you guys might know, it doesn't come with a disc drive. That's sold separately. And I did not buy a disc drive because I just thought they'd be more readily available because when I made my purchase, they were already there. And I was like, okay, I can just go ahead and wait until it comes. But of course, lo and behold, the disc drives are sold out throughout America. And I'm kind of stuck because most of my games are disc-based. And, it being Black Friday or Black Friday or Cyber Monday week, I went ahead and bought a whole lot of games. I bought Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. I bought the new Life is Strange game. I got Star Wars Outlaws. I just got a whole bunch of games that I'm really excited to play, but I can't because they're disc-based, and I'll just have to wait until I find one. So in the meantime, I've been continuing the story in Last Time I Saw You, and honestly, there really isn't much for me to say here because saying so would just lead to spoilers. But I will say it's very similar to other games over the past year that I've enjoyed, such as Until Then and Arbitrary for the Unknown, and like these are games published by Chorus Interactive, who really is all about like you know these are side scrollers, but at the same time they're not really like platformers or anything difficult. They're all entirely narrative based. Almost feeling like a point and click, and it's pretty cool in that regard. And the one thing I like about this one, aside from its art design, is the fact that there's a little bit of combat in here. You get this baseball bat and you can swipe it around like a sword, and it's pretty cool in that regard. Aside from that, over at Temple of Geek, I reviewed It's in the Game, Madden NFL. This game or this docuseries just came out on Prime Video, and it's about the Madden series. And me being a lifelong football fan, lifelong Packers fan, lifelong Madden fan, I definitely enjoyed what I watched here. There are four episodes, and this docuseries pretty much just talks about, how Madden was made and like how it is now. I didn't know back then that when EA was formed and they were trying to make Madden, like it was originally like supposed to be a tabletop card game. But of course, EA's a video game company. So seeing how it evolved was crazy. Trip Hawkins didn't even want to make any console games, but eventually push came to shove, and they were trying to make Madden for the Sega Genesis, and it turns out that Sega wanted or EA sort of convinced Sega to let them make Joe Montana Football, which ended up just being a worse version of Madden that they did on purpose. So like I really enjoyed like this kind of story because obviously like EA has that they have like a negative sort of what's the word I'm looking for? They have a negative reputation towards gamers, and like seeing things like this like it kind of magnifies it. But I like the fact that EA went ahead and like addressed these topics, and like there's more here. My favorite one was actually the second episode. It talks about a guy named Gordon Bellamy, and this guy is known for bringing the names of NFL or the likenesses and names of NFL players to the game without permission. So like as some of you may know, like in order to have like actual NFL or NBA players in the game, you got to have a deal with the NFL or NBAPA. At the time, Madden didn't have it, and this guy just went ahead and shipped it, which this can get you fired. This can get you this can have your career ended. But luckily, like things fell the right way, and he was able to be an MVP because of it. And another thing that Bellamy did was he back then when Madden was all about player sprites, he was able to dedicate one color to skin color, which obviously did a lot for DEI, and it did a lot for him himself because Gordon is actually he's both black and gay, so it definitely was a boon for him strategically. And like this is a guy who Eventually went on to have big positions in MTV. Now he's working at Netflix. He was pretty big with the original Spike TV Game Awards. And yeah, this guy has been around in the industry, and it's been awesome just seeing the way his profile was done. But yeah, the series is pretty solid. It isn't afraid to dive into topics such as Madden's death. Also, what happened with the 2K games. Like, obviously, Madden's biggest competition was NFL 2K. And then in 2004 or 2005, when ESPN NFL 2K5 came out, that game came out at $20. And, you know, it was a great game. A lot of people considered it better than Madden. And the reason why, like, that game eventually came out on top was because it was a cheaper price. It actually caused EA to drop Madden 05 down to 30. But that ended up being 2K's demise, because the NFL, you know, and if the NFL didn't like seeing their premium product turn into a cheap product. And that's eventually what led to EA Sports and the NFL having their exclusive license. And it's been that way for the past 20 years. But yeah, it's definitely a cool watch. Again, 4 episodes on Prime Video. And like, I'd recommend it to anybody who's ever enjoyed Madden and just wanted to learn more about it. But yeah, that's been about it. Until I find a disk drive, I don't think I'll be playing anything crazy anytime soon. But it's also a good time to delve into the Switch and Steam Deck. So that's all for me.
All right. Yeah, let's get to some news. We got some subscription news here. And first up, we have PlayStation Plus's essential lineup for December, which has 3 titles here. We got... For let's see, first one, PS5 and PS4, It Takes Two. So if you have not been one of the 20 million people that have bought a copy, you can now check it out on PlayStation Plus. Find a friend or somebody else to play it with, and enjoy some fucked up moments there.
Yeah, seriously. So,
let's see. Next up, PS5 and PS4, Aliens Dark Descent. This is sort of a real-time strategy game of sorts. We are commanding a squad of Colonial Marines, taking on Xenomorphs in kind of a Aliens fashion, trying to survive. So, yeah, that's I've heard pretty good things about that. So, yeah, there you go. And then the last one here for PS5, Temtem. That is a Pokemon clone. But focused on 2v2 battles. Yeah, kind of, it's very much a live service game. So you got a lot of, you're always online to see other people playing. You can challenge them if you want, or just play through the story and collect more Temtems and do all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that game's pretty solid. So yeah, that's your 3 games. Pretty solid month there. They do have more announcements here for the 30th anniversary. As of December 3rd, they will have a PS Plus premium trial for Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. So you can check that out. They don't mention how long it is. Let's see, for the game catalog updates, that'll be later this month. The classics will include 3 PS2 games, Sly 2, Band of Thieves, Sly 3, Honor Among Thieves, and the original Jak and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy. All 3 are very good games, worth checking out. So you got those. They'll have a free online multiplayer weekend next weekend, from the 6th to the 8th of December. And yeah, that's kind of mostly it here. So yeah, some good stuff coming. And then let's see here. For Nintendo Switch Online, they got a couple things here. They announced that after adding Donkey Kong Land last week, this week they added Donkey Kong Land 2. I played both of those a bit. Donkey Kong Land 1 is kind of a very rough around the edges game. It's impressive, technically, trying to get that Donkey Kong Country style, art style, onto the Game Boy. That kind of works, but I think only the first stage or two are original Donkey Kong Country stages, but then the rest are all kind of original just for that game, and it kind of just goes into some weird places, and it just controls weird and all that. Donkey Kong Land 2, that they kind of get better, especially like a part of the UI that they use to tell you when you've got the other character to check out. Because the whole thing in these games is you have a second character that is available to swap whenever. But also if you lose your life, you take damage and die, the other character swaps in. And it's only in Donkey Kong Land 2 that they had a thing on the screen to tell you, like, oh yeah, you're good with, you know, if you take damage, anything, or you can swap to the other character. But yeah, that has more stages that are tailored after the original Donkey Kong Country 2's stages. It also stars Diddy and Dixie Kong. And Dixie has her whole, like, floating spin thing. Which ended up making me play that most of the time when I was playing it. Just get longer jumps and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that second one feels like it was them using a lot of the lessons they learned making the first one. And so it's just kind of a better overall game. But yeah, that's those two games. Those are solid games. For that, I think people are still waiting on Donkey Kong 94 to get added. At some point, but it seems like they're going to work their way at least through these Donkey Kong Land games first. For that. And then, yeah, also for Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack, the Genesis app got three new games. There is Mercs, that is one of those side-scrolling shooters. Certainly not unlike a Contra or anything like that. Let's see, there's Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkotron.
Those are, that is a name I have, that is a name I have not heard in a long time.
Yeah, that's the second game, so that's the one that is more like a traditional platformer. Versus the first game being kind of a kind of an isometric roguelite kind of game, which was a rarity at that point of seeing any sort of game with like a randomly generated stages on a console. So yeah, that's an all right game there. I don't believe it's as good as the first game, but it's not too bad. And then there's Vector Man, which is another one of those games that Genesis only kids rave about, but it's all right. Kind of a decent little action game, but it's nothing, has a neat style to it, but it's kind of all it has really going for it. But those are three games, some decent ones there for your Genesis. And yeah, that's your subscription news. But yeah, let's get to some game news. This is the only one that I have here for being announced. And it's a game called Light of Motorim.
That one
has a very familiar look to it if you check it out here.
Certainly
that it seems to be aping the art style of Horizon Zero Dawn and using that for, say, a Monster Hunter and like general survival game kind of structure. I believe I've seen people saying it's specifically using a lot of animations that are from Monster Hunter. Which is like, all right, that's a weird path to go, but sure. This is coming to, I believe, PS5, PC, and mobile. So yeah, it's a game that just, like, oh, I see your direct inspirations here. So cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, even though it's really obvious, like, you know, who they're taking these ideas from, that isn't to say, like, this couldn't be good. And, like, a lot of it looks pretty nice. Obviously, I've never gotten my hands on it, but it looks like it definitely could be polished and it could take off. The only thing is, I don't know how this will be marketed, because, like, everyone who sees it is going to call it something else, and that's where it leads to disappointment. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward here.
So they've put out a little trailer of some gameplay stuff for you to check out if you want to see that. But I don't believe they have any sort of date or anything. Probably at least next year at some point, if not maybe later than that. But yeah, this comes from a subsidiary of Tencent Games. So that's interesting. So yeah, there you go. Let's see other news here. Dave the Diver has reached 5 million copies sold, which is cool to see. Yeah, not much more than that. They have announced that they have reached 5 million copies sold. That's great for them. But still, it's not an indie game. But yeah. One more checking out if you like your kind of, let's say, half mixed games where half of the game you're diving and gathering materials and fish and all that kind of stuff, and the other half you're cooking. One of those games is just kind of very busy with everything it's doing. There's a lot of little side things to do in that game. But yeah, that's cool to see. Let's see here. Yeah, we had a Devolver Digital held their, what do they call this? The 15th Annual Devolver Delayed Awards 2024.
Yep.
To announce which of their games will be missing their previously planned 2024 release windows. And the winners are Baby Steps, Skate Story, and Stick It to the Stickman. So yeah, obviously finding a cheeky way to announce that these games that were planned to come out this year, that's at this point either has to be coming out really soon or next year at some point. They've announced they're coming out next year. So yeah, same if they weren't able to make it, but more time is good for them. Let them kind of finish up what they need and get those out when they're ready to go. So yeah, there he goes. I was looking forward to Baby Steps. So yeah, I'm willing to wait some more time for that. So there you go. Some games you don't have to worry about coming out anytime soon, at least. So yeah, there you go. Let's see. There's some Xbox news. If you remember that the Xbox One has avatars, a feature that they never really used it for anything.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty well hidden in the dashboard and never used them in any games. So they're just kind of a useless feature there. That I remember when they were touting the some changes they were making to make it more friendly to people with specific kinds of disabilities and such, you know, people with amputated hands or legs or whatever have options to do that kind of stuff in the on their avatar as well. It was like that was neat, but also it did not serve any real purpose because this wasn't surfaced in the way that they were on Xbox 360, where you saw that pretty often in your friends list and whatnot. But it seems like Microsoft is getting rid of them. Because they serve no, yeah, they said, due to low engagement, which is like, yeah, because nobody has any reason to really bother with these things.
Seriously.
They're being removed and the Xbox Avatar Editor app is going with them. I believe January 9th is when they will be removed from the Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S consoles. So you'll not see those anymore. If you purchased items for your Xbox Avatar and Xbox One or Series X and S since November 1st, 2023, they will be refunding those purchases. I can't imagine that's very many people, but this will not affect the Xbox 360 avatars, which they are officially known as Xbox Original Avatars. More of that great branding there that they are so good at. Those will continue to live on for the time being in the Xbox 360 dashboard and games and apps on Xbox One and Series X and S that support them. So yeah, it's not going to change much of anything for you, but yeah, unsurprising.
Yeah, not surprising at all. No one even knows what they ever did. And I think like they were more popular during the Kinect era, right? So, and that died immediately. So
yeah, they weren't even used for any Kinect games. Like the one Kinect sports game used completely different avatars. They were just for that game. But yeah, That's unsurprising. Let's see, what's next up here? Oh yeah, we mentioned Tencent earlier. Well, they finally acquired a new developer. This time it's Kuro Games, the makers of Withering Waves. I assume ahead of them going out, releasing that game on PlayStation, PS5 here in January. So they have now acquired a 51.4% controlling stake in the company.
Mm.
And they're also the only external shareholder of Kuro Games. So it seems like they plan to kind of let them keep working as they have been. Particularly because they've been making pretty good money on Withering Waves. So, yeah, they just kind of want to make sure they get as much money out of that as possible. So, probably a smart acquisition on that front. Because, yeah, if you haven't seen that, that is the new Genshin Impact clone.
Yep.
It has been doing pretty well on PC and will be coming to PS5 here in January. A few more weeks off for that.
Mm.
So, yeah, there you go for that. We have some bad news here, particularly, let's see, the studio Humanoid Origin, which is run by former BioWare general manager Casey Hudson, has announced that they are shutting down because of a lack of funding to keep the studio going.
Yeah.
This is one of a couple of indie teams from former Mass Effect developers that have been going through some trouble.
Yeah.
I guess they announced this on LinkedIn, saying despite efforts to shield the studio from broader challenges in the industry, an unexpected shortfall of funding left us unable to sustain operations. We're heartbroken that we will not be able to bring our new science fiction universe to completion. Our main concern at this time, however, is for our team, and we are committed to supporting them in their transition to new employment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a shame. Seems like a studio that shouldn't have trouble getting funding.
Yeah.
From a guy like Casey Hudson. But that's kind of where we're at this point, unless you somehow have a really strong pitch that can convince people otherwise. There's not a ton of funding in independent studios at this point. So yeah, that is a shame there. And then we had that followed up by another studio that is led by a Mass Effect veteran developer. This is series writer Mac Walters.
Yep.
His studio, Worlds Untold, is in a weird place. They have made this difficult decision to pause operations as it searches for a new partner. They were established last November as a NetEase game subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like NetEase seems to have basically said, like, we're done kind of having you here, but if you can find somebody else that wants to support you, you can keep going. But it seems like probably it's going to lead to a hemorrhaging of staff in the short term. Yeah. That's another bad story there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bad time for Mass Effect veterans that are leading teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it sucks. Fortunately, as far as Mass Effect alums go, Archetype Games and their game Exodus is still going along pretty well, and I'm expecting big things out of that one. So, but yeah, it's just, it's not a very good time for people trying to, if you're in the indie space, it's kind of okay, but if you're trying to step it up into like a, double A or triple A game space, it's just not a good time right now. The market's retracting and, the funding's drying up.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of like, you want to be able to survive to 25. And what's really heartbreaking here was, this studio was what, established around this time last year. So they've only had a year, and game development's hard, especially in AAA where everything takes almost 8 years. So you would expect, at least 8 years of employment. But if like nothing you're submitting is, and convincing anybody to publish it, then, you're in trouble. And I'm assuming that's what happened here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a rough time for people trying to make it out on their own, even when you can get a big publisher or whatever to take you on, like the NetEase thing going on. They can just drop you at any point when they're like, ah, we're done with this. Because I believe NetEase at this moment is kind of in a place where they don't want to fund Western studios.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucked up to do when you're still funding them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of where you're at on that stuff. But we do have some good news here. 2K Games Motion Capture Studio has voted to unionize.
Mm-hmm.
71% of voters voted in favor, as the they're organizing under the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. The election was supervised by the National Labor Relations Board and was approved on Friday with a vote of 15-4 and 6 against.
Mm.
Let's see. This will be the first unionization of a motion capture studio in the games industry. Mm. They're based in the California city of Petaluma. They've worked on many of the biggest franchises in Take-Two, with NBA 2K, WWE 2K, and BioShock. So now the workers will enter negotiations with 2K management to agree on a new contract, with the union pushing for better job security, fair pay, and improved working conditions.
Mm.
So we wish them all the luck there.
All right. Yes, awesome. Just another example of the rising of organized labor over the last decade.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And Linda here with our last story. Shuhei Yoshida, who's been at PlayStation for 31 years since before the original PlayStation launched,
mm-hmm.
Has announced that he is retiring from the company. Mm-hmm. He is not retiring in general. He's just leaving PlayStation. Having mm-hmm. been there for so long, he's going to be presumably doing something else, maybe taking a break for a bit before he announces whatever the next thing is.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe he said his last day is January 15th, 2025. He said here, yes, I have an announcement to make. I'm leaving Sony Interactive Entertainment on January 15th, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It's like announcing the launch date of a new game, something I haven't done for a long time. So yeah, he's had a great legacy there. Been a part of a lot of great parts of PlayStation. Was the head of Worldwide Studios for a long time there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to visit all the studios they were working with all around the world and kind of seeing what new stuff they were working on.
Mm.
Has had a lot of success in that, and eventually moved on to being kind of the head of the indie side of PlayStation. Here for the past handful of years, as he kind of worked to build a new team that signed on indies and all that kind of stuff, and promoted that stuff, and has been a big part of what he's been doing up late. But yeah, it's sad to see him go, but mm-hmm. he's left a hell of a legacy at PlayStation.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then, like, you know, just to add some further emphasis here, he's retiring from PlayStation. He's not retiring from the industry. He said as much on Twitter. And, yeah, like, he has done a lot. You can write a book based on all the things he's done. I had the fortune of actually meeting and shaking his hand when I was at Summer Games Fest a few months ago. And I'm definitely thankful for that. And, yeah, whatever he's doing next, whoever has him is lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's... That'll be interesting to see what he's doing next.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him doing more indie stuff or running his own company. Mm-hmm. No idea, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah. I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon.
Nope, not really.
All right. Yeah, I think we'll end up wrapping it up here. Just not a ton to talk about this week.
Well, it's Thanksgiving, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't really, but we're definitely going to have more probably next week, considering we're going into the holiday season now.
Yeah, it'll be the last month of the year, going into the Game Awards. It'll be next week, Thursday after next. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. We talked about the list of games that were nominated last week. Gonna see what new stuff gets announced and all that. Let's see, checking out the releases here for December. Here we go. Let's see, for the second, Lollipop Chainsaw Repop is coming out on the last gen consoles.
Yep.
PS4 and Xbox One. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Complete is out.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that early enough, it'll be half off at $10 instead of $20. Mm-hmm. There's Anton Blast for PC and Switch is out on the 3rd. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes is out on PlayStation as well. And then Warhammer 40,000 Darktide is also out. That's their kind of Left 4 Dead style series.
Mm-hmm.
There. On the 4th, for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S, The Thaumaturge.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of an isometric RPG. Let's see. On the 5th, there's Phantasia Neo Dimension on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. That's the new Mistwalker game.
Mm.
Then we got, let's see, Infinity Nikki's also out on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out. There is, let's see here. This one I've been keeping an eye on, Uncle Chop's Rocket Shop. It's a neat little game. We're running like a chop shop, but in sort of the distant future. So it's a lot of like spaceship parts and such. That's on PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC. And then there's, let's see. Yeah, Marvel Rivals is out on the 6th. Let's see. That seems to be about it here for this week.
All right.
Next week will be Indiana Jones week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Legacy of Kain collection. And Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yep.
So, some new stuff coming out here over the next couple of weeks as we start to wind down in 2024. So, yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. And thank you, Brandon and Danner, for joining.
All
right. We'll be back next week with a bunch of new news and games to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, they should check out the podcast. And select strangers that are also enjoying this nice fall weather we've been getting.
Nice
cold here in the 20s.
Yeah, exactly. It's freezing down here.
Yeah, luckily we are just south enough of the lake effect snow to not get buried in like 12 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is around Lake Erie. So that's fun. But yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.